If for some reason I was really forced to pick one story from all the story in Jesus' 3 years of itinerant ministry, I would have to think long and hard about it, but I think I would come up with the story of the woman at the well, the story we just heard in the gospel reading today. Here is a story that can last a lifetime. Here is a story that you can think about again and again and get different meaning of it in different times of your life. It would seem as though this story has its very own bucket that you can let down time after time and always bring up fresh water of knowledge and understanding. The bucket comes up again and you will never be thirsty. You will never go dry for understanding of God. For those of us, and that's pretty much all of us, who require our faith to be regularly nurtured and refreshed, the story of the woman at the well can provide us with many different perspectives as the context of our life journey changes over time. In life of faith, we come late to the well. Sometimes we come to the well and we meet a stranger. There always seems to be a stranger on our journey. And sometimes we come to the well tired and thirsty, and it is the stranger who changes our lives. The stranger at the well begins to talk, and we begin to feel the cool, cold water refreshing us and giving us recognition, understanding, and hope. There is a number of ways to approach this text, but for me, at least my thinking on my journey this week, what struck me was the many rules or social norms that Jesus was breaking in order to connect with the woman at the well. So let's take a look at four of those. The first is the social norm. Jesus ignores that he initiates the conversation with this woman. There are a few very concrete reasons why Jesus should not do this in his social setting. First, she is a she. She is a woman, and men who did not know a woman were forbidden to approach and talk to them. Second, she is a Samaritan, not an Israelite. Based on the text as well, it would seem that she has a bit of a shady past. She could be verbally uncouth and has a kind of a lower class working reputation and position in her community. Jesus breaks all these rules and talks to the woman. Jesus does this, and guess what? All his friends and disciple and those who are just following him are shocked and stupefied. Who is he to speak to such a person as this woman? For a moment, let us take a look at another way, look at this at another way around. Let us ask, what social conventions does Jesus cross when he speaks personally to us? What line does he go over? What convention does he disregard in order to have a conversation with us about what is truly bothering us? I can think of one way in particular. As human beings, we tend to be adverse to change. I certainly know I am. One of the reasons for this is that it is indeed hard to change the many things around us. I don't like, for instance, the fact that very few people in the world control most of the world's wealth. I don't like the fact that most of the rest of the world lives in poverty. I don't like it. And yet I perceive that there is not much I can do to change that fact. Then perhaps I will, in a similar way, say to myself, well, I don't have much faith and I don't see how I can possibly change that. The line that Jesus will cross here is that he has a fondness for overstepping boundaries. Jesus has a fondness and a talent at putting our problems together and creating profound solutions for us. In this instance, for example, I can see Jesus saying to me, volunteer for a homeless shelter, and you will experience a faith in those who have nothing that will astonish you. It will inspire you and change you, and in the process, the world is becoming a better place because of you. You can make a difference. The second way to approach this story of the woman at the well is to notice that it is Jesus who is thirsty. We can well assume Jesus and his followers had a long walk and were tired and were indeed thirsty. As his disciples go to buy food in the village, Jesus goes to the well where he and the woman meet. One would think it not a problem for a thirsty man to get a drink at a well in such a circumstance, but we notice Jesus does not do this himself. Jesus asks the woman if she would give him a drink. It is the way he is giving her a chance to recognize the face of Christ in a complete stranger. There is something quite poetic and poignant about the scene at the well. It is Jesus who is thirsty, and the well is you and I who are the ones with the bucket. This makes sense when you truly consider that Jesus wants to hear you, the real you, in a conversation with you, a heart-to-heart conversation with a stranger, or even God, can be a difficult thing to start. But when it is started with a small gesture, like a cup of water, offered in affection, offered in love, it can lead to great things. It can be the beginning, or even the redirection, or even the salvation of a long life journey. The third approach is to recognize and appreciate the order of recognition. In a movie, it is always the action parts or the flashy bits that come out of nowhere that get and keep our attention, be it a car chase or an exorcism or the solving of a mystery. We love the unexpected glitzy bits. In somewhat similar fashion, Jesus pulls some of the very personal detailed information about the woman seemingly out of thin air. She is impressed and says back to Jesus, "Sir, I see you are a prophet." Perhaps indeed she needed a spiritual stepping stone before she could see the real Jesus, the real Messiah. I know I would appreciate that. And why? Well, the creator of all that is all of that. And God can be difficult to get around in our minds. Connecting with God can take time, or perhaps another look or two before we can begin to feel a real connection, before it feels like a real conversation. Maybe in this sense, the prophet is like the cup of cold, cool water, and a symbol or a deeper manifestation of a deeper reality. Turning to God and realizing it is, in fact, God whom we have encountered is perhaps the first step on a journey that will slake the thirst of our body as well as our soul. The last thing I would like to point out is the importance of what is said and what is unsaid. When the woman at the well comes to the rather startling and overwhelming realization that she has in fact been talking to the Messiah, she drops her bucket and runs back to town and says, and I quote, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have done." Now, it's an unusual sentence in and of itself, but she leaves out one very important aspect with Jesus. She could have said, and perhaps should have said, this: "Come and see a man who told me everything I have done, and I know he loves me anyway." She does not say these seven words, but it is absolutely implied in her statement, and in her joy, and in her hope, as she runs into the town. From this story in the Gospel of John, we know that everything she ever did is a rather long laundry list of sin and things that she regrets in her life. Not only this, it is considered common knowledge as well that all of her neighbors and acquaintances know of these indiscretions, and it would seem continually remind her of those indiscretions with their expressions and their looks as they walk by her. For Jesus to know each of her sins is perhaps not remarkable, but for Jesus to know her and still love her and forgive her is something quite else. For Jesus to know and love her despite everything is a fresh new start, and she could have ever hoped for. Imagine Jesus coming up to you and start reciting all the things that you have ever done, all the things that you have done, and what you see is nothing but love in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus saves the woman at the well, and she begins a new journey of faith that is centered in joy and hope and love. At any point in all our journeys, Jesus will gladly meet us at the well and give us cold, cool water to drink, then sending us on our new journey of hope, joy, and love. Amen.